And good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. Middle of your work week, Wednesday, February the 13th, 2019. 13 coming up on 14 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into the Now program, and we have got a great show for you today. Now, let me give you a real quick heads up about what's coming up on the show tomorrow. Tomorrow, 12 to 2 p.m., we're going to be joined live in studio by the 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow, and we're going to talk about everything going on in the world politically, as well as the big event that we will be doing a live remote from at Tony Paco's, the most famous hot dog place in the world, which is right here in Toledo, Ohio, just about an hour up the road from us here in Marion. So we'll talk about all that, the big remote coming up on Friday, March the 1st from Tony Paco's with Mary Ellen Withrow tomorrow, 12 to 2 p.m. Coming up in hour number two today, we're going to be joined by one of our favorite guests. You probably know him from movies like The Jerk and Analyze This. Maybe best known as his role of Walter Finley in the hit TV series Maude, Bill Macy, next hour. So that will be a lot of fun. Now, this week, what has been the talk of everybody? It has been the Daytona 500, which you can catch 2 p.m. this coming Sunday on the Fox Television Network. Now, it's a very special year because it's the 40th anniversary of the Daytona 500 being televised and the 61st running of the Daytona 500. On Monday, we were lucky enough to have Ken Squire on, who did the first broadcast of the Daytona 500 on the CBS television network and coined the term the Great American Race. And yesterday, we had one of the legends, Hall of Famers, from the world of NASCAR, Ned Jarrett, on, talking about his life and times and career and the Daytona 500. Well, today, we're going to take a little bit of a local turn here to Ohio, because this coming Sunday, a gentleman by the name of Matt Tift, who is from Ohio, 22 years old, will be in his first Daytona 500 driving the Speedco car number 36. What a pleasure it is to welcome to these microphones Matt Tift. Matt, how are you?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm good. Now, was all that information correct? The car you're driving, first Daytona 500, 22 years old?
Yes, sir. You got it all right there.
Days away from your first Daytona 500, how does that feel?
It's exciting. We're actually down here in Daytona. Now we finished up media day earlier, so we're heading over to do some shoots for the Fox Network and their broadcast deal there. So it's been a lot of fun. I had qualifying and practice last week, and we got the duels tomorrow night, so that'll kind of set the starting lineup for the 500. But yeah, it's been a pretty cool week down here, and excited to get this weekend rolling.
How did it come about that you would be driving the Speedco number 36 on Sunday?
Yeah, so Speedco joined us a couple weeks ago, and so they partnered up for the 500 with us. But we actually announced last year in the fall that I'd be racing full-time with Front Row Motorsports in the 36 car. So that was a step up for me. I've been in the NASCAR Xfinity Series, so this is my first race and first season in the Cup Series. So definitely a big jump up for me, but always been a dream of mine to compete at this level, so it's definitely exciting to see it all kind of happening this weekend.
Absolutely. Now, Matt, you were not born in Ohio, but grew up in Ohio. What are your memories of Ohio?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't born there, but I only think I lived outside of it for about 2 months before we moved up here. So, I lived in Hinckley, which is about 20 miles or so south of Cleveland. So, my entire life growing up was in Ohio. And, of course, we got the Buzzards there over in Hinckley, so we got Buzzard Day there. And I was always a diehard Indians, Browns, and Cavs fan growing up, and that's where I caught my first love of racing, and everything was around that area, and I started in go-kart racing in Ohio. So my whole family still lives up there today in Hinckley, and my grandparents and everybody, so still a lot of ties to the area for sure.
What hooked you about motorsports?
Well, I was probably five or six when I went to my first race with my dad. He owned a dirt late model that his friend drove, and so we'd go to the dirt tracks and watch it. And I think the sights and the sounds and just the smell, just everything about it, all that sensory stuff just hooked me. And you know, the car that he owned started winning a lot of races up there. I remember one night he, I was probably 6 or 7, he gave me the checkered flag from when he won the race. And I just thought that was so cool. And from that point, I was pretty much hooked. And, you know, just kind of caught the racing bug. And, you know, that just became my passion. And we started going to NASCAR races and watching on TV. And, you know, really just completely fell in love with it at a young age. And, you know, just tried to see how I could get into it. So when I was 11, I went and raced my first go-kart over in Barberton at the Barberton Speedway there. So that's, you know, really how it all got started.
What are the attributes that make a good driver in the NASCAR series?
Well, I think you got to be a sponge. You got to be able to learn, you know, a lot of information quickly. You got to be able to adapt quickly. But I think a lot of it comes down to preparation and knowing, you know, previous notes or previous races of what's going on. Then also your feel inside the car. You know, we're so connected to everything we're doing inside the car that, you know, you really rely on your butt feeling to tell you, you know, what you need to make for changes in the car. And that relationship with your crew chief who's, you know, over the crew there is really important, because if you guys are off just a little bit, the handling of the car suffers. So you got to have that trust with one another. But, you know, it takes a lot of effort, too, mentally, to be that focused driving, you know, 200 miles an hour for sometimes up to 4 hours, and, you know, the extreme heat inside the cars, too. It's extremely hot in there, sometimes 130, 135 degrees inside that cockpit. So you got to be able to stay focused, too. That's a, you know, a large part of it is making sure you don't get your temper too out of control, or, you know, get too high or low, you know, throughout the race, because it's a long race, and, you know, it's really an endurance run the whole time.
Being this is your first Daytona 500, and this is the Great American Race, the big race of the year, what is your strategy on Sunday?
I think, first of all, you know, we just got to make it to the end. Is the you know, we got to be around for all the laps and to be there at the finish. So just putting ourselves in smart positions throughout the race. You know, we got to be in contact with the lead draft pack if we can be, and you know, just try to make sure we have no mistakes. You know, it's easy to come down pit road and slide through your box, or speed on pit road, or you know, make mistakes in the pack that can, you know, end up yourself getting put in a bad spot. So minimizing those things as much as possible. You know, it's hard to recover because the pack's all... I'd say that's one of the biggest things, is just making sure we got everything taken care of the small things, and then just trying to put yourself in a position to be there at the end. And at that point, anybody's really got a shot.
Being a fan of racing since you were a young guy, still a young guy, who do you look up to? Are there people in the race on Sunday that you have admired for years?
Yeah, growing up, I was always a big Jeff Gordon fan. So, you know, when I was little, that was always my guy. But, you know, there's so many people in the Cup Series now that I respect so much that, you know, I'm going to get the chance to race again. So that's pretty cool for me, too, to be able to, you know, be racing with those guys at the premier series of motorsports in America, really. So, you know, that's exciting for me. And, you know, it's just cool that it's come to that point. And I probably wouldn't have ever thought it would have, you know, a few years ago. So just trying to enjoy it as much as I can.
Now, after Sunday, what are your plans for the rest of the season?
So after this Sunday, we'll head off to Atlanta, and then we go over to the West Coast. So we still got a lot of racing this year. We have 38 races in total. So we go pretty much from now until the week before Thanksgiving. So it's definitely a long schedule. But it'll be my entire first, you know, Cup season as a rookie there. So, you know, it's a lot of exciting things going on of going week to week to places and competing. So I always look forward to that. And, you know, you got to kind of take it week by week with the challenges you're going to be faced with, and, you know, adapting to a new team and everything for me this year. So there's a lot of things I'll have to overcome in there, but excited to see where it'll take me.
How excited is your family?
They're definitely pretty excited, and, you know, they've put a lot of hard work into it, too, on the business development side and supporting me in there. So, you know, they love coming and cheering me on there. So it's cool to see it you know, come to this point, having them come down for Daytona, I'm definitely excited to see them all down there.
Yeah, Matt, before I let you go, what is the atmosphere there at this point a few days before the race?
Well, you got all kinds of fans coming into the campgrounds, and all the RVs are rolling in here, and, you know, fans are kind of getting there, getting into the area. So there's definitely a lot of activity starting up. It's going to get a lot more busy as the days go on. We get to the duels tomorrow night and everything. So it's kind of the calm before the storm now, but, you know, it's definitely exciting, and everybody's ready to get the new season underway.
It's going to be great. The Daytona 500, the 61st running, 40th on television, 2 p.m. this coming Sunday, the Fox Television Network. We've been chatting with Matt Tift, grew up in Ohio, first Daytona 500 on Sunday. And remember, he will be in the Speedco number 36. So look for number 36. Matt, best of luck. We'll be watching on Sunday, and we hope to hear from you in the future.
Awesome. Sounds good. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
That was a lot of fun, checking in with Matt Tift. It was, you know, the last couple of days, chatting with Ned Jarrett and Ken Squire. That was a lot of fun to get the history and the perspective of Daytona's past. But to talk to somebody 22 years of age, right here in Ohio, who's going to be running in it on Sunday for the first time, hey, that's got to be the thrill of a lifetime. So, if you are a fan of motorsports, or even if you're not, and you want to watch the Daytona 500, I want to give this information to you again. Sunday, 2 p.m. Now, the gentleman we just talked to will be in that race. He grew up in Ohio, just about an hour and a half from where we are now. 22 years old, Matt Tift. Listen for that name on Sunday. I have a feeling he might do very well. And on the track, he'll be driving in the Speedco number 36. So pay attention for that one. That was a lot of fun. Okay. Well, the rest of this hour, we're going to do trivia. Does anybody have any questions, comments about what the work we've done this week with the Daytona 500? Had a lot of fun covering that this week, and we'll continue to cover it into next week. So stay tuned to this station for that. 740-383-9944. The phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. Would certainly love to hear from you. 25 coming up on 26 minutes past the hour. Now we're going to go back to our trivia questions for the rest of this hour, and I'm going to give this one because I don't think anybody's ever going to get it. The question was, what was the description given of TV's Murphy Brown when they were pitching the show originally back in 1988? Now, it had to do with a journalist at the time who was very popular, since this journalist has passed away. But the description given of Murphy Brown was Mike Wallace in a dress. So we're going to throw that one out because I don't think anybody's ever going to get it. But the description of Murphy Brown that was originally given to the network when that show went on the air was Murphy Brown was described as Mike Wallace in a dress. Remember him from 60 Minutes and a lot of other programs? Now, the rest of the questions are still in play. So let's run down the questions that we still have here. What did Charlie Evers eat during our live four-hour broadcast from the Bratwurst Festival in August of 2018 that left him speechless for about 2 to 3 minutes? What did he eat? Does anybody remember what that was? We've had a lot of guesses, but we don't have the right answer yet. What did Charlie Evers eat during our live broadcast of the Bratwurst Festival, where I learned what a dirndl was? Beautiful, nice people in Bucyrus, Ohio, that left him speechless for 2 to 3 minutes back in August of 2018. That's one question. When did President Harding and Florence Harding leave Marion? Now, we've had a lot of guesses on this question, but we do not have the right answer yet. The original question was, what year did they leave Marion and what year did they enter the White House? Well, the other day we got the year that they entered the White House. They entered the White House in 1921. But what year did Florence Harding and Warren G. Harding leave Marion? Little things like that slip under the radar. Does anybody know what year they left Marion? And the other question that we have floating around right now that also involves the Hardings is, what did Florence Harding do as First Lady of the United States nearly 100 years ago at the White House, in the White House, that no First Lady would be allowed to do today. 740-383-9944. Now, you got to understand the question again. What did Florence Harding do as First Lady of the United States inside the White House nearly 100 years ago that no First Lady would be allowed to do today? What did she do? 740-383-9944. This question has been out there for a while as well. Who were the first three hosts of the Today Show? The Today Show, the morning show on NBC, which has probably been on about 70 years now. Does anybody remember who the first three hosts of the Today Show were? Any guesses on that one? What Ohio native entertainer, celebrity, was a favorite of Jack Parr on The Tonight Show and also people who like the movie Grease with John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John? Any guesses on that one? What Ohio native entertainer, celebrity, was a favorite of Jack Parr on The Tonight Show and people who like the movie Grease with John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John? What Ohio celebrity would that be? Here's another question that's been out there for quite a while. What did the students of Taft Middle School, and Taft has been gone for about 15 years now, but what did the students at Taft Middle School used to do every morning before school started? It was a tradition. And I've talked to Terry Tackett, who went to school there. I went to school there. So I know it happened for quite a period of time. The question again, what did the students of Taft Middle School used to do every morning before school started? Does anybody know the answer to that one? 740-383-9944. Jack Kellogg is the longest-serving mayor in Marion history, 16 years. Who came the closest to defeating Jack Kellogg in that 16-year span? It's a well-known Marion person. Jack Kellogg, the longest-serving mayor in Marion history, 16 years. Who came the closest to defeating Jack Kellogg? It's a well-known Marion person. Does anybody know who that would be? What radio network was Larry King on? Larry King started on radio, and he was on national radio at one point. What network carried Larry King's show, his radio show? Does anybody know what network carried Larry King's radio show? 740-383-9944. When ABC Television Network got in the radio game in the late 1980s and early 1990s, they went and hired a very famous television talk show host of the time to do a radio show on their network. Who was that person? ABC was only in the radio game for about 5 years, but during that period, the late 1980s, early 1990s, when ABC Television got in the radio game, they went out and hired a person who was very well known as a television talk show host to do a radio show on their network. Who was that person? Does anybody know that answer? Those are the questions on the table. 740-383-9944. Phone lines are open at this point. Give us a call. Would love to hear from you. What do we have to give away here today? Let's see what's left in our prize folder. We have the extra value meal from McDonald's. That's still left. We have a Huntsman Auto Oil Change, 5 quarts of non-synthetic oil for automobiles only. We have a CRT insulated coffee mug, so we've got all that to give away. You can have any of that. Does anybody know the answers to any of the questions? What got Charlie Evers tongue-tied, left him speechless during our Bratwurst Festival broadcast, only for about 2 to 3 minutes, but what did he eat that left him speechless? What year did Florence Harding and Warren G. Harding leave Marion? Does anybody know that year? Who were the first three hosts of the Today Show on the NBC television network? What Ohio native celebrity was a favorite of Jack Paar on The Tonight Show, as well as people who like the movie Grease with John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John? Who's that Ohio celebrity? What did the students at Taft Middle School used to do every morning before school started? What did the students of Taft Middle School, no longer around here in Marion, used to do every morning before school started? What did Florence Harding do as First Lady of the United States nearly 100 years ago inside the White House that no First Lady would be allowed to do today? Does anybody know that one? Who came the closest to defeating Jack Kellogg for mayor? He was mayor for 16 years. What well-known Marion person came the closest to defeating Jack Kellogg when he ran for mayor? What radio network carried Larry King's national radio show? I thought that one would be easy. What network carried Larry King's national radio show? When ABC Television got in the radio game in the late 1980s and early 1990s, they weren't in it very long, just a hop, skip, and a jump, what nationally known television talk show star did they hire to do a radio show on their network? Who was the very well-known television talk show star that ABC hired to do a radio show on their network? Does anybody know the answers to any of those? Or does anybody have anything to say, period? 740-383-9944. Give us a ring. If you want to win the McDonald's Extra Value Meal, the CRT Insulated Coffee Cup, the Huntsman Auto Oil Change, 5 quarts of non-synthetic oil for automobiles only, give us a buzz. We'll get you up on the air. Or if there's anything else on your mind that you want to talk about on this February the 13th, give me a call, 740-383-9944. Do want to let everybody know again that on Friday, March the 1st, that's the date, Friday, March the 1st, 2019, that date will be the 25th anniversary of Mary Ellen Withrow being sworn in as 40th Treasurer of the United States. Now, WWGH Radio plans to celebrate this in a big way. Myself, Charlie Evers, Terry Tackett, and Sean Kraft will be going to Toledo, Ohio, to the most famous hot dog restaurant in the world, Tony Paco's, to do a live broadcast, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. with Mary Ellen. Tony Paco's has a long tradition of having well-known people, including Nancy Reagan, Burt Reynolds, and Mr. T, sign hot dog buns. We'll come back to this in a second. Go ahead, caller.
I just have a question. You're not repeating the one about eating a bratwurst sandwich, so you must have gotten the answer. So what things do you have to eat a bratwurst sandwich correctly?
Yes, the proper way to eat a bratwurst sandwich is you have to have the bratwurst, the bun, mustard, sauerkraut, and Worcestershire sauce.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yes, well, that was one of our trivia questions. The proper way to eat a bratwurst. The proper way to eat a bratwurst, according to Carly's in Bucyrus, is you get the bun, you do not put the bratwurst in beer, drink the beer, eat the bratwurst, boil the bratwurst, grill it, put it in the bun, put some mustard on, put some sour cream on, and then put some Worcestershire sauce on there. That's the proper way to eat a bratwurst. Any other questions? 740-383-9944. Now, as I was saying, Tony Paco's has a long tradition of having well-known people, including former First Lady of the United States, Nancy Reagan, Burt Reynolds and Mr. T signing a hot dog bun to be displayed on their walls forever. During our March 1st broadcast, Mary Ellen Withrow will join that group by signing a hot dog bun during the broadcast. You can listen live on the internet, WWGH1071.com, or by downloading the free TuneIn app on any mobile device and searching WWGH. You can check out our Facebook page at WWGH Marion, Ohio 107.1 FM for pictures and updates from the big event. Now, if you do want to go to Tony Paco's on that day or any other day, the address of the original Tony Paco's is 1902 Front Street, Toledo, Ohio 43605. On Fridays, Tony Paco's opens at 10:30 in the morning. So again, that's 1902 Front Street, Toledo, Ohio 43605, and our broadcast will take place on Friday, March the 1st from 11:15 a.m. till 3 in the afternoon. Don't miss that for love nor money, as they say. 740-383-9944. Phone lines are open here. We'd love to hear from you. Any guesses on any of the questions today? We've got prizes to give away. 39 minutes past the hour. We still got 20 minutes left here before we're going to hit the break. Also, don't forget this coming Sunday's the turn up there. Saturday, excuse me. February 16th, Saturday. Turn up the heat here in Marion. 5 to 9 p.m. Black Tie Cash Bar. Winner determined by cash votes. This is a fundraiser benefiting the historic Women's Club home to replace the HVAC system. Doors open at 5 p.m., $75 per person, non-refundable and limited seating. Includes one drink and heavy hors d'oeuvres. Tickets are available at Main Squeeze Juices and Smoothies, Byrie's Restaurant, Carol's Jewelers, or by calling the Women's Club home at 740-387-1366. That's coming up on Saturday. The mayor will be there dancing, Lowell Thurston, and a whole host of others. Who do you think's going to win the dance contest? We've had the ladies from the Women's Club home on, Linda Rizzo, Nancy Hafer, and Sherry Williamson on, talking about this event over the last 2 months. Who do you think is going to take away the sparkly ball that night? Who's going to be the dancer that wins it all? Has anybody been interested in the people who are running for office? Was anybody interested to know on our news today that Anthony Miller, the 18-year-old, who was running for mayor as an independent this coming November, has now dropped out and thrown his support behind Kevin Norris, the Republican running for mayor? Did you think that was interesting? Now, Anthony, in that message, seems to leave the door open for running for something else. So we'll have to see exactly what that is.
Go ahead, caller.
Yes. Could it be Florence? Could have our first lady, could laundry, her laundry was hung around the house?
Not laundry, but that's a good guess.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you for calling in.
It wasn't laundry. The question is, what did Florence Harding do as First Lady of the United States that... Well, let me say this again. What did Florence Harding do as First Lady of the United States nearly 100 years ago inside the White House that no First Lady could do today? What did Florence Harding do? Now, think about the times. About 99 years ago, well, give or take, she was First Lady of the United States. What could she have done at that time that a First Lady would not be allowed to do today that she did inside the White House? That's the important part of that, inside the White House. 740-383-9944. No guesses today at the year that the Marions the Hardings left Marion. What year did Warren G. Harding and Florence Harding leave Marion? Does anybody know that? What did Charlie Evers eat in Bucyrus during our live broadcast from the Bratwurst Festival from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. back in August? That was one of those Fridays as well, that left him speechless for about 2 to 3 minutes during the broadcast. Does anybody remember what Charlie ate? Does anybody know the first three hosts of the Today Show? The big juggernaut Today Show on NBC? Does anybody know who the first three hosts were? What Ohio native entertainer was a favorite of Jack Parr on The Tonight Show and fans of the movie Grease with Olivia Newton-John and John Travolta? What Ohio native entertainer celebrity would have been a favorite of those two groups of people, people who watch the Jack Parr Tonight Show or people who watch the movie Grease? What did the students at Taft Middle School used to do every morning before school started? Taft Middle School, of course, no longer there. But what did the students used to do every morning before school started? Jack Kellogg, longest-serving mayor in Marion history, mayor for 16 years, who came the closest in those 16 years to defeating him for mayor? Well-known Marion person. Who would that have been? When Larry King was on radio, he became famous in radio before he became famous in television. What network carried Larry King's radio show? Does anybody know that? 740-383-9944. When ABC Television Network got in the radio game in the late 1980s, early 1990s, they hired a very famous television talk show host to do a show on their radio network, kind of the star of their radio network. What well-known celebrity television talk show host did the ABC radio network hire to start their radio network? Very, very well-known television talk show host who ended up on radio for ABC for about 5 years in the late 80s, early 90s. 740-383-9944. 46 minutes past the hour, 14 minutes left before we hit the top of the hour. And again, the prizes available, the CRT insulated coffee mug, the extra value meal to McDonald's, or the oil change from Huntsman Auto, 5 quarts of non-synthetic oil for automobiles only. Or if you just want to call in and answer the question because you know the answer, we will go that route too. 740-383-9944. Phone lines wide open. Would love to hear from you here on this Wednesday. Do want to remind everybody all events going on all over the place. The Child Evangelism Fellowship is having their Spring Luncheon and Silent Auction fundraiser Saturday, March the 2nd from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Doors open at 10:30 for early birds, free admission. Lunch is a $10 donation per person. Hundreds of auction items, always something surprising. Hosted at the Cornerstone Alliance Church, 2010 Marion Marysville Road, corner of Route 4 and Marion Cardington Road. Come and enjoy a fun-filled afternoon and also learn what CEF is doing in Marion and Union counties. All proceeds will go to local Good News Clubs, 5-day clubs, train lead teachers for placement at a school, materials for lessons, and so forth. Your support is greatly appreciated and needed. If you have questions, you call Cheryl Lee at 740-262-0939. 740-262-0939. The Child Evangelism Fellowship Spring Luncheon and Silent Auction Fundraiser, Saturday, March the 2nd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Cornerstone Alliance Church. All right, folks. I'm still here. Do you have the answer to any of the trivia questions? 740-383-9944. We'd love to hear from you. 48 minutes past the hour, 12 left to go. Anybody going to take another guess? What did Florence Harding do as First Lady nearly 100 years ago that no First Lady would be allowed to do today in the White House as First Lady? What'd she do? Is anybody going to take another stab at the year that the Hardings left Marion? What year did Florence Harding and Warren G. Harding leave Marion? What did the students at Taft Middle School used to do every morning before school started? What did Charlie Evers eat during our live broadcast from the Bratwurst Festival in 2018? The 4 hours we did from there, what did he eat that left him speechless for 2 to 3 minutes? 740-383-9944. We're approaching the 10-minute mark here before we're going to hit the break. 740-383-9944. And I cannot say again, I hope we're able to do the Bucyrus Bratwurst Festival again in August. The people in Bucyrus were just so nice, kind, wonderful people, very accommodating. I just can't say enough about the people in Bucyrus. It seems today that people just have no patience. People's patience are shot. I don't know the reason for this, but they just seem very uptight, and that's unfortunate. And I'm not trying to say that everybody's uptight, because there are a lot of people who still take their time with things and practice makes perfect, but I've never quite gotten the correlation between the reason people are so uptight. Does it have to do with cell phones? Does it have to do with text messaging? Does it have to do with computers? That everybody's in a hurry? I don't know. All this stuff has come about in the last 20 years. So it's interesting. There was a show the other night, I think on CNN. Facebook's only been around 15 years. Think about that. Facebook's only been around 15 years. And most everybody I know is on Facebook in some form or fashion. But it's a fairly new thing. It hasn't even been around 20 years, just 15 years this year. And has that changed the world? I don't know. It's an interesting question to ponder.
Go ahead, caller.
Did Mrs. Harding walk around the White House in her robe and slippers?
You know, she might have, but that's... I think, Milan, you could probably get away with that as well.
Okay, then what about the tax school? Did they have a flag raising every morning?
What was that?
They raised the flag.
No, it wasn't raising the flag, but that's a good guess.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, I think Milan, you could probably get away with walking around in her slippers and robe at the White House. But think about this. Again, the answer to this question lies in the question. And the question is, what did Florence Harding do nearly 100 years ago as First Lady of the United States that no First Lady would be allowed to do today? Think of the things that a First Lady in the White House could not do today that they might have been able to do 100 years ago. That's the key to that question. 740-383-9944. And the other question, we've had all kinds of guesses. Now think about this. What did students of Taft Middle School used to do every morning before school started? Now, when Taft Middle School was in operation, we had two other middle schools. We had Edison and we had Baker. Now, neither one of those schools did this. This was strictly a Taft Middle School thing. Does anybody know what it was?
Go ahead, caller.
Was Mrs. Harding the last one to be allowed to smoke in the White House?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know, but that's not the answer. Good guess, though.
All right.
Good guess.
Thank you.
That's an interesting question. I don't know. Let's see. I'm trying to think of any First Ladies after Florence Harding that might have smoked. You know, smoking was very popular in the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. Well, for some people, it's still popular today. But I can't think... You know, I know President Obama smoked at one point. I don't know if he ever smoked in the White House. First ladies who smoked. I don't think Nancy Reagan or Betty Ford or Rosalind Carter. I don't think Lady Bird Johnson did. Now, Jackie Kennedy might have. I don't know if Jackie Kennedy smoked or not. Mrs. Eisenhower, I'm not sure about her. Mrs. Truman. Bess Truman, I'm not sure if Bess Truman smoked. Eleanor Roosevelt, I don't know that she did. Franklin smoked. Maybe Eleanor did. I've never seen a picture of that, but it's possible, I guess. Mrs. Hoover? I don't know if Mrs. Hoover did or not. Mrs. Coolidge? It's hard to tell. You know what I have noticed, though? Even when smoking was popular, and I'm going to say the Surgeon General warning on smoking came out, I think, in the 70s. So let's say pre-1970. One thing I have noticed is the people who did smoke, you rarely ever see them photographed smoking. Have you ever thought about that? Now, the television people you did, so, I mean, Lucy smoked, Desi smoked, you know, they all smoked on television, but the political people, I mean, there's a few pictures of Franklin Roosevelt smoking, but I don't remember any of Jack Kennedy, I don't remember any of Lyndon Johnson, and I think he did smoke. I don't remember any of Dwight Eisenhower. I don't remember. I know Dwight Eisenhower smoked cigars. I've seen a few pictures of those, but never in the White House. Always when he was at war. Nixon, Ford, never saw anything from them. Truman, never saw him smoke or photograph smoking. Never saw. Harding did smoke, I believe. And I believe there are a few pictures of that, but I don't know. Does anybody know? Have you seen other people photograph smoking who were in high political office? Maybe that was seen as a bad thing. I don't know. I think it was because for a long time, people used to use those cigarette holders. I know Franklin Roosevelt. The pictures I've seen, he was holding those, and I think those were seen as maybe being kind of effeminate, and maybe that's why they didn't take the pictures. But I never saw Eleanor smoking. Does anybody know? 740-383-9944. 55 coming up on 56 minutes past the hour here.
Go ahead, caller.
The thing for the top middle school, 80% of the kids, they tapped the top of the door when they went in.
No, wasn't tapped the top of the door, but that's a good guess.
All right, thank you.
Now, remember, the question for Taft Middle School is, when Taft Middle School was in operation here in Marion, what did the students at Taft do before school started every day? That's the question. Now, Edison and Baker were in operation when Taft, we had three middle schools at one point. The students at Baker and Edison did not do this. This was something special for Taft Middle School students. As a matter of fact, only if you were at Taft could you do this. It would have been very hard for people at Edison or Baker to do this. But at Taft, you could do it. What did the students at Taft Middle School used to do before school started every day? 740-383-9944. Our prizes again, CRT insulated coffee mug, extra value meal from McDonald's, Huntsman Auto Oil Change, 5 quarts of non-synthetic oil for automobiles only, or if you just want to answer the question, call in. We'd love to get one of these right today. 740-383-9944. And remember again, earlier on in the hour, we had on 22-year-old Matt Tift. Matt Tift on Sunday will be in his first Daytona 500. He grew up here in Ohio about an hour and a half from where we are now. The Daytona 500 will be broadcast at 2 p.m. on the Fox Network, and Matt Tift will be in the Speedco number 36 car. So we'll be cheering Matt Tift on. Wouldn't it be great if he got a good finish or maybe even possibly won the race? Wouldn't that be exciting? First Daytona 500 to go out there and win the thing from Ohio. And with NASCAR, I can't remember if it was Ken Squire or Ned Jarrett who said it earlier on in the week, you can see the numbers on the car, and you can also see the sponsor. So look for Speed Co. and look for number 36 and know that's an Ohio boy there, Matt Tift, and that it's his first Daytona 500, and he's 22 years old, and you heard him right here on WWGH Radio. Mary Ellen Withrow, tomorrow, here 12 to 2. That'll be a lot of fun, talking about the big event, live from Tony Paco's with Mary Ellen Withrow in Toledo, Ohio, on the Maumee River, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., Friday, March the 1st. We'll be doing that live broadcast as Mary Ellen signs a hot dog bun, which is the thing to do at Tony Paco's if you're well known. 58 minutes past the hour. Who's going to call in and get one of these questions? 740-383-9944. What left Charlie ever speechless at the Bratwurst Festival for 2 to 3 minutes? Does anybody know that? What did he eat that left him speechless during our live broadcast from the Bratwurst Festival? What did the students of Taft Middle School used to do every morning before school started? What did Florence Harding do as First Lady of the United States that no First Lady would be allowed to do today? It was something she did inside the White House. When did Warren G. Harding and Florence Harding leave Marion? All I need is the year. It was a two-part question. What year did they leave Marion, and what year did they enter the White House? We know they entered the White House in 1921. What year did they leave Marion? 740-383-9944. We've got about 30 seconds left here. Are we going to have one final guest today? 740-383-9944. Who is going to get one of these right and possibly get a prize or just get the satisfaction of knowing you got the question right? You know what? I guess nobody. We're out of time this hour. We're coming back next hour, though. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
Cite Shakespeare.
Yes, methinks I am a prophet.